The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, I'm Jill Redding. I played Dolores on The Wire, and you're listening to the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 371. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD cast. Well, this episode is part two of a conversation I had with a guest from last week, and of course I'm referring to Mr. Ron Ransom. For those of you that did not listen to part one, you should. Let me summarize a little bit about Ron. He was a concert promoter for many, many years, almost three decades here in Columbus, Ohio, focusing mostly on gospel, jazz, and blues. In our last conversation, we talked about his childhood up until his time in the military, which would lead into his very first show that he promoted. And we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about his philosophy of promoting. We also talk a little bit about his charities and his philosophy of giving back to the community. And we're also going to talk about A.C. Collins. And for those of you that don't know who A.C. Collins is, he recently passed, but he was a staple here in Columbus on the jazz blues scene. He and his saxophone were part of many, many bands, as you'll hear Ron talk about it. He never wanted to be the front man of a band. He wanted to just be part of a band. And certainly, AC had many, many songs written and performed by many different artists. He was in the Blues Hall of Fame. I mean, I could spend the next 20 minutes talking about all the accolades of AC and all of the great music that he left behind. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear part two of my conversation with Ron Ransom.
See, I'm giving you a way into my music because this is basically the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in Bryan, not necessarily in Columbus, but definitely the minute that I go and I had the freedom to go and to nightclubs and stuff like that, and I did it in moderation. But to be able to drive 60 miles and you'd be right in the middle of Harlem or right in the middle of New York City, Brooklyn, wherever the case may be, that's like going to Harvard.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's an education, hands down.
And I sucked it up, man. I'm telling you.
So when was the very first show you promoted?
Mike Reeves was like 15 years old, past me. And so he was just fresh out of high school. He worked at a TV radio station called WBKL, and that was for the all black community. Everything was on there. And he had guys like Les Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know Les Brown?
I've heard the name. Yeah. I know. Yep.
Number one speaker in the world to this day. Les Brown was a disc jockey. He came here from Miami, Florida. Poor as a church mouse. You know, rich as cream now, down in Jersey, around Atlanta. But all those guys got to be friends with me, but they were friends with me from the other side of the coin first.
Okay.
I would loan them some money, $500, $1,500, something like that, whatever that they needed, and they'd give me a little something back on my money. I think I would like to do this myself. And that's how I did it. So I flip-flopped.
Okay.
You know? I took advantage of the fact that all these guys were disc jockeys, and all of them, they'd play music, and a lot of them could not afford to bring in top entertainment, it was just mediocre entertainment, and I wanted top entertainment. Anybody that know me, in all the years, and I was almost 20 years I did comedy, I brought in top entertainment from day one. But I got the fever from loaning the guys money to put on shows. And that's how I would be at the shows and stuff like that, and met the different artists and stuff. But when I went in, I went to the top. I went to the top shelf for his bringing in top entertainment. And my first show that I had on my own was the Shylights. And the Shylights was a disc jockey had called from Chicago and said that they had just made this record. And they got this record from this group there, local group in Chicago called the Shylights, Shy for Chicago.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So he said, well, look here, I'd like to bring somebody, like, turn them on to me. And so we agreed on the price, all that stuff was fresh in my mind, like it happened this afternoon. But we talked about it, and all this was non-contract because he's in Chicago, I'm here. And so and they wanted to bring him in here like the next week. That's when these guys came up with the idea of playing it 24 hours because WBKL was a 24-hour station. So they start playing Have You Seen It? That was their first hit.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if you notice them, but it's called Have You Seen It? And, but the guy talks through the song at first.
Okay.
And then he's talking about his girl, and then it's talking about she's missing and Have You Seen It? Great, it's a great tune. They played it 24/7. That was like, the day is Thursday. So let's say that we agreed that they were going to come Saturday, which is basically about the same time.
About the same time frame.
They went on the radio and started playing that.
Okay.
By Saturday, I didn't have tickets made up for it. By Saturday, the time of leading up to the show, you couldn't even get on the fairground.
They were that packed. People were just there.
Yeah, you couldn't even get. Just stacked up.
That's amazing. That's impressive. With that idea, clicked and hit home so well.
And it was brought in to me as an idea. I didn't know. I didn't know to tell them. Say, look, let's play it over. But I knew I didn't have much time.
Right,
but
right.
One of the guys, I don't know who it was, because a couple, three of those guys have gone on. So I don't want to say what Les Brown did it, Mike Reed did it, Bill Moss did it. When I was stationed in New York, and they had the disc jockeys up there, all the disc jockeys were like God. They would be. That's where the word payola came from.
Oh, yes. You see
what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it had a lot of strict rules by the time I got into it, which was in 1968.
Okay.
And then and barely in 72, I'm changing over because nobody was bringing in top entertainment. Not a soul. So I went with the top shelf thing, but I got all these disc jockeys that's playing the music for me. I always use local entertainment to be warm up so they could get exposure.
Sure, yeah.
But from day one, local entertainment. Give them popularity. I had two groups on ahead of the Shylights. People enjoyed them. When the Shylights came out, the lights were out, I mean, dim and everything, spotlight. They come out and I got on these yellow suits. And they all in group. Everything they do is, I mean, it's just.
They're in unison.
Yes. People just holler. And they got going, and they sang the song. They start standing on the chairs. And it was those metal chairs.
Okay, folding metal chairs.
Yeah, folding metal. I call them church house chairs.
Okay.
But they start standing on the chairs. The chair, poop, plop. Poop, plop, all over the place. Because the chairs don't take, they're to be sitting.
They're not for standing on.
No, man, and I didn't know no better, you know, because it had never happened to me. And it broke up a chair. I tell you what, it was like $500
for the damage.
The fairground.
Okay.
You know, but at the time, I didn't have time to worry about that. So then, I had promised the guy, Mike helped me negotiate with him, because he wanted, he said, if it's a success, appreciate you throw me out. I didn't have to. Mm-hmm. He said, appreciate you throw me out, you know, a little extra. I gave him, the road manager, I gave him $700. So that's $1,200 over and above what we had agreed on, which was $1,200. I grossed $13,000 that night, my first show on my own.
And you had to be elated.
I was excited. To have money, this room was a little bit larger than this, but all over the place. It's a retired policeman in this city right now. They retired from Columbus Police Department. He was my security. His name is Chester Street. I'll give you his number. You can call him and ask him what I just told you is facts. I had money all over the floor. And somebody came to the door at the lobster door. And it's a door over here. But it's mm-hmm. a door over here leading back into the building, back into the auditorium. And the guy coming, peeking up through the window. Chester, get there. You know what I mean? But we're still friends to this day.
So that was the spark, and then you're off running, right?
I never looked back.
You never looked back?
I never looked back, because I kept bringing in top entertainment. And then your name started getting out mm-hmm. there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, still at that time, I'm doing shows at the fairground.
Okay.
Because people before me were doing shows at the fairground. You know, all these governors, you know, Governor Lausche, Roosevelt, mm-hmm. and all, mm-hmm. you know. So the fairground was the place to go. But, you know, it wasn't nothing lavish about it. You know, it was just a place and these little chairs. What happened was, to me, was that I always wanted to do Valley Dale. I always wanted to, but I couldn't afford it.
How did you know about Valley Dale? Just from being...
I knew about Valley Dale because in the black community, when I was a kid, they had a thing called a cotillion.
Okay.
The cotillion, and there was like a, it's sort of like a concierge. Mm-hmm. Concierge. Mm-hmm. That's where the Spanish young girl comes out.
Yeah.
16.
Yes.
That's what the cotillion was, okay. Coming out of a young lady. I had been going to there for a couple of dances when I came back from Alaska, when I got out of the military and came back from Alaska. Before I got involved in this, mm-hmm. I had been to a few dances there, and it was just a fabulous place. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it. So that was a place to hold concerts. You know, it's a 1,200 capacity. Mm-hmm. But it was just, I always wanted to be valued. Plus, North High School used to have things there when I was in high school, but I wasn't a part of that social thing, because most kids in North High School, white kids, their parents had megabucks.
Yeah, and right. So
they have dancing and stuff like that. And they say, hey, Ron, you're going all your work like that. If it's not a discrimination, that ain't in the book. But I did tell them that. I got interviewed for PBS. Mm-hmm. Valley Dale's in the process of 100-year thing.
Yes, yes.
So they had, they turned me on to PBS. Mm-hmm. So they interviewed me about the same thing that you're interviewing about, and it's going to play on PBS between now and probably November.
Okay.
You know, some one of the events. But I told right on there, and I said, I want to be clear with you. I said, North High School, none of the people African American I went to school with, not a one. I said, not a one ever said anything to me. And I said, I made some inquiries about a racial incident. Nobody had a racial thing mm-hmm. happen to them in North High School that was during my era.
Okay.
And I went there in an era when there was only like 30 some blacks. Mm-hmm. You know, so then North had more as a year, because the year that we finished up in North, the next year they opened up Brookhaven.
Okay.
And Brookhaven, now we were like, we won the football championship, basketball championship, baseball championship. They opened Brookhaven, and we couldn't beat nobody. You know, because they cut off our everything. They couldn't build a school in between us, you know.
Right, yes,
So they won the state, they won the the city championship the first year, Brookhaven did. Mm-hmm. But I was going to the military then. I had always wanted to do ballet there because they did bring in entertainment there. Mm-hmm. It was things, that, you know, big band like Benny Goodman and Count Basie and those kind of guys, and Cab Calloway and all the, these are the black guys at the entertainment. And so it, that's what kind of made me always want to do ballet there, because it's like you made it if you get... But then again, I didn't stop there, but I did shows at the Ohio Theater, you know, and that was one of my goals, to do the Ohio Theater. My pride and joy was Palm Sunday, 78, I think it is. I was walking downtown, Larry Bolin and I, he had finished up at Ohio State. He played basketball at Ohio State University. And Governor Rhodes, love basketball player. I ain't care, he didn't care what color you were. You played basketball at Ohio State University, buddy. Just you put the check there in front of me and say, just sign. just put in there what you need. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was just that type of person. He was an awesome person. I don't know what it was. Larry and I were downtown in right there by the Capitol. I said, you know Governor Rhodes? I said, I went to school with his daughter. I said, yeah. So we just walked up the Capitol steps there, either the front or the back. I think we walked up the front. And this lady at the desk, sitting outside his office, hi, Larry. Said, Cottonville. Hi, Cotton, here we come. So she said, hi, Larry. And he said, hi. He says, is so-and-so, is the governor here? Yeah. This is good buddy. Governor, Larry Bolden's out here. Tell Larry to come on in here. Went into his office, and they did this thing. This is my friend Ron Ransom, blah, 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 blah. And just next thing you know, man, we talking. And I got my little thing together. Name drop, buddy. I said, my daughter and my son and your daughter, I said, your daughter, your grandson, and my son, that is in the paper with Lazarus every week. That was like, Larry told me, Ron's a concert promoter. I was a concert promoter myself down in Jackson County.
Really?
That's what he said.
Okay.
That's what he said. He said, probably said it just like I said it, because he said, I was a promoter down in Jackson County. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I always give back. I said, I do that. And that's the truth. I do. I do that. I raise money for churches. I can show that to you too. Oh, at Franklin County Stadium, brought in the top gospel artist in the world, James Cleveland, right there at Franklin County Stadium. But I've done that. I'm just pointing that out. The Governor Rhodes, actually, if I want to just give him credit, but to going back to what he said, I'm going to get back to this in 1 second. Governor Rhodes told me to give back. He just started like that. And we never even went back to the mob and stuff. But he got really real with me. He said, what can I do to help you? Governor Rhodes called Shirley McNeely, who was the head of entertainment at the Dispatch. That's when the Dispatch was right.
It was right there.
Right across the street.
Right.
He said, I got my good friend Ron Ransom in here. I'm going to tell you, look out for him. You know? That put Shirley McNeely in my corner. And when I had to ask her of somebody or something, before that, it didn't happen. But when he called her, from that day on, Shirley McNeely, Ron?
What do you need? Huh?
Is that what do you need? Not just her. I can show you clippings in the newspaper from religious stuff that the religious editor did for me of her across the street. You know who we talked to. But I can remember Joe, who was the guy that you saw when you're doing stuff. Joe was a guy like was the head of, not maintenance, but he was the head of putting up stuff for, like I said, Joe, I'm gonna need the curtain, this and that, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Joe got to be my friend. And when when the governor gave me that cosign, they couldn't do it. I want to show you this stuff. I can send it to you later.
Okay.
But a girl named, a friend of mine, that comes, she had a TV show at Channel 6 named Liz Evans. Mm-hmm. She let me, my show was, I had two black churches and two white churches.
Okay.
Singing gospel music.
Okay. On Palm Sunday.
Right. Palm Sunday.
Okay.
She let me bring on the one black church and one white church choir that was going to be appearing on her TV show.
Oh.
And between her and the governor and Joe.
It was spectacular, I'm sure. Absolutely.
Trust me on that one.
Oh,
you know,
I do.
I mean,
do.
Trust me on that one. It was just unreal, man, because... And then WCBO was in my corner then. Because I've always had access to the football team.
Mm-hmm.
When, from the first African-American quarterback at Ohio State University, Cornelius Green, John Hicks came to me, who I didn't really know him that well, but I knew him, and he knew me. John Hicks came to me in 2003, and he said, I want you to help me raise some money, get Tatum out of Oakland, Jack Tatum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To the day, his jersey is probably the most Archie jersey and in popular 32, in my opinion. But I said, okay. And that's what I did. Because I can tell you the same story about the kids. I raised money for the junior golf program, football program. I raised money for Gahanna Athletic Program, Newark High School Athletic Department. Players played against the faculty.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And can't get in there. You hurry up, you better get there because you couldn't get in there. We only charge like $1.50 or $2 or something like that. But that's what I do. I just love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so automatic for me to be able to do that. Like, everybody want to be around the first African-American quarterback at Ohio State University, and he go out and get four other cats and play against the staff. The teachers, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, of little league coaches and stuff like that. You know, and that's what I did. And so it's almost an honor. It was just so, I know people are going to come. I know it's going to be a seller. I know you're not going to be able to get in the building, you know. I know those things because Ohio State rocks.
Yeah.
And I just told you that I at Ohio State University because my parents got hired there.
So it's full circle. It's coming right back around.
How about you say Ohio State to me and said NED?
Mm-hmm.
It's done. But he came to me and he said, Double R, that's what people call me. He said, Double R, I want you to help me raise some money for Tate. He had one of his legs cut off and he told me to cut the other one off because of his diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no problem. You don't take 2 minutes to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, no problem, let's get it on. QFM 96. WOSU, that's my media right there.
Mm-hmm.
FM 96 is like God in 2003.
Yep.
And this is before I moved
to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, first and foremost, Hicks is going to, everybody loved John Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had played for the New York Giants and Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Cap, but anyway, they, Ohio State, one Buckeye down, all Buckeye down.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
The motto.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there ain't gonna be no problem with me raising some money to get Tatum out of there, up here. I had a fundraiser on 161 at the South Beach.
Okay.
David Carter had a big, huge club up there called South Beach.
Yes.
And so Errol Bruce spoke. The day that I had that, that's when I met Buckeye Guy.
Oh, really?
The Buckeye Guy came in the door, not in his outfit. He came in there, and I recognized him, but I had never met him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm John Chubb. And so he got a picture of him and Tatum taken down in Arizona at the championship game that Ohio State beat.
Would that be Miami?
They beat Miami. Yes. They beat Miami. And he got a picture, just a picture of him and Tatum. And it's signed by Tatum. Mm-hmm. And he went in there and he said, I'll give you the proceeds. Going there, he sold a picture. He had a lot of ton. Sold the pictures, came back, getting ready to leave, gave me a $500 and walked out the door like the masked man himself. You know what I mean? And that's, I still hadn't met him then. Now we're like Siamese. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just a good
guy.
Good guy,
yeah,
good story.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
People need to know him. Long story short, I go to Kevin King, mm-hmm. who I had done for him over in Newark. I said, mentioned Newark High School.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a car from Kevin mm-hmm. when he was 18 years old, first out of high school. And then we kept a friendship all those years. Well, when this happened in 2003, getting paid, Tatum out of California, he's been like 15 years
mm-hmm.
general manager of Byers Imports.
Okay.
Kevin King was the man.
Okay.
And I told him about it, that I'm doing this fundraiser for Tatum. He took all of his Byers commercials off of WOSU and advertised the second fundraiser, which is going to be at the Buckeye Cafe.
Okay.
It's not there anymore.
Yeah, it used to be down there on Olentangy.
Yeah,
the road.
Right.
Yes,
John
right.
Self, great mm-hmm. friend
yes.
of mine. But John Self was the man down there, and we were already had been friends for years.
Mm-hmm.
So he took all of his commercials off of advertising cars and started advertising about
the fundraiser.
Fundraiser.
Wow.
So that media is just like this.
Mm-hmm.
QFM 96, Wags mm-hmm. was the host up at Carter's for me.
Okay.
And then over there, I had everybody. You know, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You name somebody, they came over there for that at Olentangy. Raised $70,000 for Tatum. That same charity right now is still going on. It's held at Milano's. I've been going 20 years. Because the year after I did that, raised that money for Tatum, I'd been building my home and I moved to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't head it up anymore. But Central High Diabetes, because I told John, I said, man, you guys should have a charity.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the operation that he came here for,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Zagernis, mm-hmm. a graduate of Ohio State University, said it wasn't his diabetes. He had a block aorta.
Oh.
And if it had been diagnosed right, he would have died with both of his legs when he died.
Wow,
you
man.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm just trying, I'm taking a wide range of areas of things yeah. that encompass that, and it's not about a me thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I'm 81 years old and everything I tell you about is in the can. But I'm still on this side of the dirt, man. You know, I'm still in there. So I'm still, like right now, you know, I got a Sermons and Song program coming up the 30th of April. I've got Madison. You won't remember Madison because she's too young. But Madison was, I bet you remember Hairspray.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It was Hairspray.
Yeah.
Madison started here in Columbus, Ohio, by
okay.
Bubba's Holloway. Bubba's Holloway used to write about me in the newspaper all
okay.
the time. Bubba's Holloway started in Madison in 1957.
Okay.
And he didn't know the magnitude of it and stuff like that. But Bubba's Holloway always supported me and I always supported him. 30 years later, 1988, Hairspray comes out and they do the Madison and the thing and the Madison go worldwide.
And you have a documentary too that we'll talk about here
yeah,
in a few minutes
okay,
too.
But,
I mean, we got
yeah,
that, and
yeah.
you got a lot going on, Ron. For you're a very busy man. Let's just say that.
Well, it happens. See, what happens is, like your mom said, boy, don't put your hand on that. Don't mm-hmm. don't put this. That's hot. Don't touch it. And you touch it, and it burns. And so she whip your ass because she told you don't touch that. Well, that's what happens to me. You know, a touch, instead of had my mother jumping on me, next thing I know, I'm in all full force. But I'm so used to that because
mm-hmm.
I'm not a loner. God leads me so heavily into almost anything you think that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, I'm doing it And it's not as difficult as people might understand. Mm-hmm. Anybody can go to Kevin King and know him, and he'll help them. Mm-hmm. But when I went to him, I didn't expect him to take all the commercials off. Mm-hmm. You know why he did it? Because when I bought the car from him, it was a Chevron Chevrolet, and he was fresh out of high school, he asked me, because I had done the fundraiser for Gahanna and raised money for the athletic department, he asked me, could I help him do that? So I brought Cornelius Green and Fox and about four or five others over, and not only had him signing autographs in the Cadillac place, mm-hmm. it also agreed to play the faculty at Newark High School. Made Kevin King look like a superstar.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And he never forgot that. So when he gets to be the player, is Kevin King, and they did a story on me, two-page mm-hmm. story, mm-hmm. in the Bicentennial. Mm-hmm. That's what anybody who contributed to the growth of camp of Columbus, Ohio.
Yep.
That's 200 years, I think. Mm-hmm. I got two pages in there. Kevin King, because he's always treated me like gold. The guy that did the story for the mayor, mm-hmm. the Bicentennial, his name is Sonny Martin. Bubba's Holloway's nephew.
Okay.
He gave me the back cover, which is the most expensive cover.
Yeah.
I gave it to Kevin King.
Nice.
So I said, we're going to be in this Bicentennial together.
Nice.
You know, I promise you, you only heard the tip of the iceberg.
I know, Ron. You've got stories on top of stories. But before we start kind of running out of time, I would like to touch real quick about your relationship with A.C. Collins. A.C. Collins, of course, a member of the Blues Hall of Fame. He's for what, 16, 17 years was part of the Drew Allen duo.
Yeah.
He's written many, many songs that were published and performed by other artists.
Gospel and secular.
Tell me what it's like now, and I don't mean to offend you, but tell me what it's like now not to have him around, because he passed on in January.
It hurts.
Okay.
Every day it hurts, because we came to Ohio mm-hmm. as kids. Mm-hmm. He's 7 years younger than me. And I used to babysit him and his sisters, his mm-hmm. brother. He was the oldest when we came. And he has a sister and a brother and a sister. He's the oldest, sister's next oldest, his brother's the next oldest. Other sisters, baby sisters. So when our parents would go out, they would ask me to babysit, because we lived, their house was there and our house was here. Mm-hmm. Just an alley in between us. Mm-hmm. So it was just like my auntie and uncle and all, you know what I mean? It's just, but I babysitted them as kids. I told this at the funeral. Mm-hmm. Your friend wouldn't know that.
That's yes. Me. Yep.
I told this at the funeral. I said, I used to babysit them. I wasn't even designated to speak there at the funeral. I just couldn't hold back any longer. I had to get it out of my system. Mm-hmm. But I said, AC and I have been working so diligently on some gospel things, and that's what we've been working on. And I said, we're going to get it done. I said, and we're going to make something that's going to be so very great that it'll be able to put his name on it. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am about AC. But your question, just give me exactly what your question is, and I'll give you exactly.
Okay. Well, I wanted to be respectful as well. I didn't want to.
You can't be disrespectful. You know what I mean? I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because
why is that?
Your intent is at the gate.
Okay.
So if you were sent here by someone and you AC, mm-hmm. then whatever you say is cool with me.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Do you feel that maybe more people should know about AC?
And they will.
Okay.
That's the reason I think that's what I meant. That what we talked about was doing so much gospel, mm-hmm. because he went into the Blues Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and he really didn't understand, you know, but it was so... I said, that's a big deal, man. I said, that's a long way from College Station, Texas. I said, and I'm going to tell you right now, ain't too many people that's in no Hall of Fame
from there. It came from those upbringings. Absolutely.
You know, that's another thing by my book, why I'm so enthused about the book, because they want me to go into the Brazos County African American Museum. And I told them I didn't think I would be interested in that, but then a couple things were said. Well, you know, maybe you could help some African American kid, black kid, or whatever, read your book or something, this and that, blah blah blah, and give him some motivation. I said I probably would have been more leaning towards doing that if you had said African American or white. You know, I don't ever think of myself influencing white and don't influence black
or vice versa. Yeah.
You know, I just explained that to you. That's way up in the book about just moving to Gahanna. There were two black kids in 400. You know, but when I left out of there 10 years later, it was 50-50. Not my doing. God took care of that. He knows that I thought, you know, but I'm not going to, what I'm going to do? How am I going to say, well, we got to get more black kids? No, we don't. They'll be here. They'll come. You know, Gahanna didn't have hardly any blacks that live there. But what happened was they went outside of the community and opened it up to Mifflin. You know? And then the Mifflin kids were welcome.
You see what I'm saying?
So that's what you do. You don't have to force them. Whenever you force them, somebody don't like it.
Right.
So you don't do no forcing. Well, that's where I met by AC. AC was always been a very, very humble person. AC, there's not one person in this city can tell you that they played in AC Collins' band. He never had a band. He was voted into the Hall of Fame because so many people wanted him to play in their band. It was never an AC Collins band, but he was such an accomplished musician. But his parents, we talk about this all the time. He said, my parents was at everything. See, keep in mind, I went in the military at 17. AC is only, he's 7 years younger than me.
Right.
So he's 10.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what are you going to remember about me? Except he knows that I'm his cousin. He know that one time I kept them when they were, parents would go out there. But he had not seen me. He had not seen me because when I got out of the military, I was doing concerts over here. AC, we were going this way music-wise.
Okay, yeah,
He had never been to any of my concerts. You know, we didn't even discuss whether or not he knew it. But I didn't know who we were playing with. I didn't see AC no more after I went in that military until my son was in his junior year of Colgate University. And I just happened to go down to Beck's Tavern down on South High Street.
Okay.
And go in there to see Rodney, the leader of the band.
Okay.
Because he was his friend. And had him see him. He's a young guy, and he just had started a band a few years, 4 years. So I went in there to see Rodney. AC's in there playing, and another kid that I know was in there playing. Beck's Tavern, here's where you're going, Beck's Tavern.
Oh, yeah, you're elbow to elbow with people. Yeah, it's a packed house.
Yeah, and I got my wife with me, my son, and his future wife with me. And we like going in there sardines, just so I can see Rodney Sutton's thing. Just so I can see Rodney. And then we realized, let's get out of here. So I didn't get a chance to holler at him, but I saw him over there. Then we would drive all the way up to the tavern up on North High Street, just as you go right there to where the old train station used to be. It's a place called the Tavern, right there on the right-hand side. And we're going to go up there and holler at some friends. And there it's like that.
It's also packed.
Yeah, I got to go to the restroom. We're standing back there by the end of the bar, and the restroom is right here. People going in the restroom, men going in using the trough, and the girls are going in using the stool.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. You know, I guess I thought you had to go to Paris to get something like that, man. But this is just the way the kids have come so far.
Yeah.
But yes, AC did not know in his actual mind that said that he was Hall of Fame material.
Okay. It never crossed his mind.
No, because you used to give that to somebody that's had been the leader of the band, or mm-hmm. somebody stand out. But yeah. his reputation was so strong, and people wanted him to play. And I'm serious, a heart attack when I say that, because I, after all those years, because see, he had a heart attack, mm-hmm. and when he had that heart attack and he had to have open heart surgery, that's when we started communicating. I'm down in Arizona, and then we just would call mm-hmm. and talk to each other. Still wasn't seeing each other. Then we had like a family thing when my sister passed. Mm-hmm. I came to Columbus. And he is sitting, and I was talking. He said, well, I'm not going to be able to make it to the film. He said, but I'll meet you because I wanted to go see Tony Monico's sister, who her boyfriend's band was playing on Fifth Avenue near High Street.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of the place. But I promised her I would come up there. And so I said, man, won't you, bring your sax and meet me up there? And man, I don't got nothing to lock my sax. So I said, okay, I want you to set in. It's 2022. I can almost guarantee you that I only missed maybe 5-6 days that we didn't talk on phone.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he started out, he called me like about 11 o'clock at night. We talked at 2. Mm-hmm. Then we started using common sense. So he called at 10, and maybe about 11 or 12, we was through.
We were through. Okay.
I just love him. Anything you want to ask me about him, I will tell you because he expects me to tell you.
Well, I assume, and we're going to start kind of wrapping some things up here, I assume that you talk quite a bit about AC in your book.
Yes.
Quite a bit about the documentary as well. What's the title of the book? I never did ask.
There's
that.
No title. I'm just...
You're still working on it right now?
Well, I use, just for working purposes, I put Ransom Way.
Okay.
I don't think that I would jump out there with that.
Okay.
But that's because it is.
Okay.
Ransom Way.
Okay.
But that's the title. I can show you if you want to see.
Well...
You take it 20 minutes to get there. No, what I'm saying is, it's like that. Boo, 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 boo. And I can't believe I've been doing it. I've been writing since last May.
Well, it's coming all out, you know?
When AC died,
yeah,
I couldn't do it.
Okay.
You know, because...
It had to be the right time for you, is what you're saying.
I didn't see no reason to write.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? No, you don't know what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. I had to concentrate on being able to write about us. I had to concentrate on being able to write about us.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Okay, I get what you're saying. I get what you mean.
Yeah, I wasn't there yet because I was still hadn't left Gahanna yet.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm still writing about Gahanna, even though I go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different. I've never written, but people always say, man, you love the way you write stuff. I mean, I've had compliments on writing, not handwriting, but...
Prose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. That's the proper word. but I kind of knew that, but I didn't really think twice about it because when I write, and I wrote my kids and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. I write them on there, I chastise them, or complimented them, but they said, you don't want to get one of Dad's letters, you know, you get a good one, because I can say what I want and nobody can say it back.
Right.
But I just made a habit of writing, and I tell you just one highlight, one of my incidents, racial discrimination,
mm-hmm.
and I was in the military,
mm-hmm.
and it's the Vietnam War was cranking up mm-hmm. and everything, so mm-hmm. the USO started bringing these girls to the base and stuff to entertain,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
USO stuff.
Yep.
So they brought these busload of girls from New Paltz Teachers College in the suburb of New York City.
Okay.
And so they brought him to our service club, is what you call it. It's got one big, like, big dance hall.
Mm-hmm. Got a stage and whatnot.
Right. Okay. Got a lobby, and then you got people, you know, where guys play cards and stuff like that. So my roommate, Joe, and I went to that. We could have gone to the Airman's Club or something, but they didn't. This is the first month that they came.
Okay, so you want to check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, all white girls. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, they bring me in, this and that, and come into the big ballroom. Let's say ballroom.
Okay.
And mingling in, I met this young lady. She's 18 years old. I was 20. So I was 2 years, I'm still 2 years older than her, but I was 20, 2 years older than her. But anyway, I don't know, what I'm telling you is not gonna make a lot of sense, because I don't know how we ended up in the lobby where they got couches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in there and we talked. That was, I think they stayed about 2 hours. We talked the whole time, because it was just a matter of just short time, that matter. Now, to go back just a little bit, because I want you to hear every bit of this. To go back just a little bit, they probably give those ladies, young ladies, instructions, you know, be friendly. And,
sure, yeah,
you
know, and right. Because boost
morale, they're doing this all over the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's called morale booster.
Yep.
You know, you've seen the movie, the mm-hmm. guy with the woman out there.
Yeah.
Know? That might have been his girlfriend, or that mm-hmm. might have been somebody from New Paltz he just college.
Right.
Who knows? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So everything is sort of like friendly. Go in and build up morale. I don't know. We didn't talk about that, whether mm-hmm. or not they had told them what to do. All I know is we ended up, her name was Phoebe. Phoebe Lustig. Jewish. I've got so many things in my Jewish friend. So we sat in the lobby and we talked for about 2 hours, and then they left. The next month, they came back again, probably around the same time. And so that time, we just straight to the lobby. Sat in the lobby and just talked. It's 2 months in a row. Due back the next month, she writes me a letter. I didn't even know to this day. I didn't know that I had given her my phone, my address. I just don't remember that.
Okay.
I don't remember what we talked about. I just know I was enjoying talking to her.
Yeah.
And she was enjoying talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when the third time came, she wrote me a letter and told me that they would not be coming. They had an epidemic of NIT. She mm-hmm. used the word NIT, but she's define it as head lice.
Okay. Yeah.
So they wouldn't be able to come because they had an epidemic of head lice. Right. About a week later, I get orders to go to Elmendorf Air Force Base in Anchorage, Alaska. They told me I had to go to Anchorage, Alaska. Now, I had been at Stewart Air Force Base 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after they gave me my orders to go to Elmendorf Air Force Base, I was called next week over to the headquarters, and they said, we're gonna need you to extend for a year and a half, because you only got a year and a half left, and you have to have 2 years when you go to another base.
Okay.
Yeah. Now they can go smoke off me all they want, because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All I know, I've been there 2.5 years, and I just told you, New York City, and all that stuff, they raised me. I was in a relaxed mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I don't even know if I'm gonna re-enlist. And so he said, well, in order for you to send you there, you gotta have a extend for a year and a half so you can have 2 years left. We don't need your permission to extend you.
Well,
that's case closed.
Yeah,
that's case closed. Because I said I'm not gonna sign that. I said because I didn't ask to go, and I didn't want to go. And for me to have that kind of about me,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But then again, I know too how I am. But I didn't know I had that in me at 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And all I was just doing was went home, come to Columbus, spend 30 days, and then, because if you're going to another base, you can go on leave for 30 days, where you got 30 days leave or not. Mm-hmm. Went to Anchorage, Alaska, and they had a drill team, mm-hmm. and I got in a barracks, and now I'm in a barrack with just a partition. Mm-hmm. And I didn't left now I'm a room no yeah, more, you know. Yeah. They took all my minutes away. Check this out. They did not ever extend me, to make a long story short. At the end of my year and a half, I was discharged because I wasn't going to be back because they interview you. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I'm not going to enlist. Mm-hmm. So at Elmendorf, you got to go to McCord Air Force Base.
Okay.
To get discharged.
Okay.
I had a job making $12.93 an hour. Western Electric offered me $3.20 mm-hmm. Minimum rate. Wait. Mm-hmm. I had $12.93 up in Sunrise Bakery. So I went there, got my discharge, and I came back to a job. And the Friday that I got back was the second largest earthquake to this day.
Okay.
But I got married, stayed another year, and then I came back to Columbus. But here's what I did. This is gonna blow your mind.
Okay.
On my 70th birthday, I had been planning, because I'd been thinking about it, you know. I said, you know, they sent me to Alaska because I was messing with that white, because I was talking to that white girl. That hit me. Mm-hmm. And it had to be facts, because why would you want to look on there and say, well, Ron Ransom, he doesn't have a enough time to do. Why would you?
Yeah. Why would you jump through all those
hoops?
Yeah.
And see,
that doesn't make sense.
But when I got there, and that means that all my stuff went away. That means that I had KP. When I get to this, they waiting on me for KP because I'm a second, so I'm still eligible for KP. I met some of the guys, man, we got a drill team, man. We sure would like for you to be on the drill team. I ain't know nothing about me. I'm just, it's cool. The drill team, you didn't have to do no far squadron duties, and you didn't have to do KP. Let's watch on.
There you
with
go.
M1 rifle and everything, man. So I figured out that they didn't like me talking to that white lady, man. And the thing is, that was the first white lady I had ever had a conversation with in my life. Not at North High School, not at Indianola, and nobody white lived in my community. You see what I'm saying? So it just dawned on me. By this time, I'm on Facebook. And it dawned on me, they didn't want me talking to that white girl, so they shipped me out of there. I said, I'm gonna find Peter Lustig. I'm on Facebook, and I saw how people could find people.
Right, yes, yep.
I found Phoebe Lustig, buddy.
Okay.
50 years later.
Okay.
50 years later, I turned 70, that was my birthday treat to me. I went and found, I remember she went to high school there right in the suburb right outside mm-hmm. of New York City. Mm-hmm. So I remember the high school. So I go in there and find out that they had a 50 year anniversary. Mm-hmm. I found out who run the anniversary thing, a guy named Howard. He mm-hmm. lived in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So I sent him an email. Would he send it to Phoebe, her mm-hmm. name is Showchat now. Mm-hmm. Phoebe Lustig Showchat. And so he said, yeah, I'm not sending on. I said, ask her if you could send it. Mm-hmm. I said, she was very kind to me. Mm-hmm. I said, in the military. And I said, I just want to write a letter of thanks. And that's the way it was. Mm-hmm. And he helped me get mm-hmm. hold of her. She don't remember what we talked about. Mm-hmm. All she knows is, yes, we talked. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've been pen pals for 11 years.
Wow.
We still have never met. Her husband is in her have a richest friend. He lives right down in Florida. She's head of a book club.
Okay.
She can't wait to have a book signing by me down
there. You go.
Jupiter, Florida.
All right.
They had a home in Hamptons that they sold since uh-huh. we met because mm-hmm. the storm.
Yeah, Superstorm Sandy damaged a lot of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so she, richest crane.
Wow.
But we just, you know, I got pictures. She sent me pictures of her when she was in college there. Uh-huh. And she sent a recent picture. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what she said between two statues down in Jupiter. Mm-hmm. There's two statues, and she said between them. and have somebody take a picture of her. How is that, man?
That is some wild stuff.
Tell me about it, man. And she's pushing me every time I tell her something. Because I ask her, does she mind if I use her name?
Mm-hmm.
She said, yes, keep writing. So every time I say something to her, you know, say, how you doing? Because I had forgot her birthday in January 19th. And I said, I think I forgot your birthday last month. I said, but I remember that it was so happy birthday. And so I said, was that 78 or 79? She said it was 80. She said, now I feel like old folks.
Ron, with that, I think we're gonna wrap things up here. Thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me. I really do appreciate it.
Okay, well, if like I told you, my life's an open book, man.
Okay, you got it.
You got a piece of it right there.
I do. Thank you again for that. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The second part of my conversation with Ron Ransom, talking about his career as a concert promoter and his cousin AC Collins, who, again, if you ever got a chance to see AC play saxophone out and around town, then you know just how talented he was. It's a shame that he passed, but nonetheless, he left us with some really great music. And as you heard from Ron, a lot of great memories as well. So now it's about time for me to tell you how you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode, or any episode for that matter. Well, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @PVDcast. And if you want, you can even shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@PVDcast.com. Maybe you need to let some folks know where they can hear this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues for that. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and it's the best place to get all of the newest episodes. But if you have a favorite podcast app that you like, I'd bet you money that the PVDcast is on there. Again, all you have to do is just go to the search bar of your favorite podcast outlet or app, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And a third way you can enjoy the PVDcast is to go over to the Facebook page on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I play a little Facebook broadcast, so to speak. But let me give you a fourth and final way that you can enjoy this podcast. That is, of course, by going over to CROC Radio, Croc Radio, ladies and gentlemen, out of British Columbia. You can hear me over there on Croc Radio Friday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I really am happy to be part of the family. And if you need to find out where Croc Radio is, just Google it, CROC Radio. You'll see all of the various links to the different avenues where you can hear my show and all of the great shows on that network. All right, if you listen to this podcast through an outlet or an app, I need you to do something for me. I need you to rate and review. And look, rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. You don't have to write anything long. You know, you can give me as many thumbs up you think I deserve or whatnot. But it's very important for me. It's very important for all of the podcasters out there that you interact with that app or that outlet. And so it helps everybody out. So please rate and review and obviously subscribe too, so you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And if you listen to those broadcasts that I do Wednesday nights through the Facebook page, like those as well. It helps me out with Facebook. They know that people are listening and whatnot. So again, just make sure that you rate, review, subscribe if you can. Like pages, retweet too, obviously, as well. Just get the word out there, as I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank each and every one of you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy.
following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.